Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
Thought it was never going to end. Welcome to the show. My name is Mary Brotherton. I'm here every Thursday night with my co-host, Gene Albertson. Gene, why don't you say hello to everybody?
Howdy. Hello, everybody. How you doing, Mary?
Gene, I'm going to ask you a real quick question, which actually is going to be helpful if anybody's listening to this show. They can use it on our trivial questions on the Take a Break show. How many countries currently listen to Be Unique Radio? Do you know?
Well, it's growing so fast. I hope I'm right. The last I heard, we had 40 different countries listening to us. Now.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
that's right.
Awesome. And it was in the 20s when I started.
And that wasn't that long ago. You haven't been with us for very long, and all of a sudden it's up to 40. That's like, you're like the magic. Talk about genie in a bottle. Today we've got Jeannie Cole, and I titled the show, "This Woman Is No Genie in a Bottle," but that is how she pronounces her name, not the bottle part, but the genie. Jeannie grew up on a farm in a small Indiana town, and she always dreamed of being a psych nurse. As the grandmother of a young man who's been in a psych ward, we could have used somebody with your energy around him, I think. But she became a pediatric nurse instead and eventually moved to Florida. And I know that you worked quite a while with your healing energy, and you worked with children born with spina bifida, didn't you, Jeannie?
Yes, I did.
Well, I want to say welcome to the show. And I also want to welcome your friend, Pat Bobek, who's here. She called in early, so she's kind of like, she's been adopted into the show. So welcome to the show also, Pat.
Hey, Pat.
Hey.
Now, I know that you said that you worked from a position of knowing, and you use hands-on healing to help people discover the truth behind their pain. Can you explain what that actually means, Jeannie?
Oh, wow. You know, from the time it started, I had a hard time understanding it myself, because what I started finding as I was working with the hands-on healing was there were so many things hidden in people's bodies, and it was like every cell in their body was screaming at me, this is what happened to me, this is what happened to me, this is what happened, and this is why I'm like this. And it was very actually kind of scary for me to start out with, because I thought maybe I was a little crazy, but the more I did it, and it was, you know, as things went along, I would tell people, well, I think, you know, maybe this happened. An example was, you know, somebody came and they, as an adult, they were having lots of trouble with feeling like they couldn't get their breath. And whenever I started working on them, there was a scenario that I saw and it was when they were about 8 years old, and a football hit them in the chest. They were just playing a game of football, and it was like he lost his breath, and from that point on, his body could not readjust and find its natural breathing pattern. So once we were able to release that, he was able to go back to breathing correctly again.
Wow.
Wow.
And that shows you how we have emotional ties and I guess emotions is the word I'm thinking of, but ties to our current pain that we may not even realize. And we have to.
Exactly.
I can tell you when I got a divorce, I didn't realize how abusive my relationship had been and what it meant to be a codependent. I mean, the man never, ever, ever hit me. But I learned over time that there's all kinds of abuse. And this came out when I got into a very loving relationship. And what was so funny, or ironic, I guess is a better word, I reacted while I was in the safe zone of that loving relationship instead of reacting in the toxic relationship. So I got very ill. I got I almost had a stroke, went through physical therapy, and I went through a lot of soul searching. And that was when we talked earlier about A Course in Miracles. That was when I learned what that was all about. That was more than 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And over the time, I have learned that these things from my past do affect my present. And so it's wonderful that there are people like you, Jeannie, that can help people release that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other things that I find is situations of unforgiveness in the body. So, for example, if a person injures, let's say, a knee or an ankle or something on one side of the body, and the other side has to carry the weight, so to say, it becomes very resentful. It becomes very resentful of the side that isn't carrying its weight. And so when I am working with somebody, it's like I have to create this space for forgiveness. And sometimes I feel like I'm working with a little child or something, or little children, saying, you know, they didn't mean to do this to you. They were just doing what they needed to do to take care of themselves. And you have to realize that, you know, they were injured, and thank goodness you were able to carry the weight and then bring this forgiveness. And it's very evident in leg injuries and knee injuries and hip injuries, because it's – and so helping – And I can't even tell you how I do that, but it's just I'm touching the body and I'm picking up this information, and then I'm telling them, it's like I'm talking to two different individuals and telling them to forgive each other. And it's funny, one of the things I do now, I work with teenagers and they get hurt a lot. And a lot of times they self-injure. And so I'm always telling them, put your hand on it and tell, you know, your knee that you love it and that you're sorry that you did that. And they look at me like I'm absolutely nuts. And then they'll come back to me sometimes and say, you know what, that worked.
Cool.
Is this in any way related to something similar to Reiki?
Well, I'm not an expert in Reiki by any means. Whenever I first learned this, it was a definite hands-on healing And I've sort of created my own process over the years by using prayer along with it and some sound healing and things like that. So whenever I'm working on somebody, I'm in a totally different space as well. But I do know that, you know, all of it's energy. So Reiki is an energy healing practice. I'm not sure that they do it exactly the same way I do. There's, you know, methods that are taught to people. What I've learned, I wasn't taught by anyone. I did take a class early on that was a healing touch class, but mine has gone much further than that. However, with that being said, in talking to people who do any kind of energy practice, I find that after they've done it for such a long time, they become very intuitive and pick up similar things, like I'm saying that I do with the, you know, feeling different flow of energy in the body. Mm-hmm. They feel areas where it's stuck. They feel things that, you know, the individual might not even be aware of, because, like, one of the things I find is a lot of times when they complain about something, that where it actually started in the body is a whole nother place. And this is just now, they've ignored the initial symptoms because your body's always talking to you, trying to tell you what it needs. And they ignore those initial symptoms until finally it gets to a point where it's like screaming at you to get help.
Yeah. I understand a little more now what you mean. It comes from a place of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had someone in, I keep going back to my stories. I don't mean to do that, but I knew someone, I didn't actually date the guy. He wouldn't date me. Because we got into a conversation about spirituality and Reiki and healing and knowing this, that, and the other. And so he asked me who I studied under, and I said, I didn't study under anybody. I just know how to do this. And he says, well, mm-hmm. we can't have a relationship, because if you didn't study under a master, then you're just a fraud. I said, well, tell that, you know, tell that to all these people that I have helped.
I look at it as I've studied under the biggest master there is, and that's God. So I've studied a lot. I've studied a lot of stuff and a lot of spiritual practices and a lot of other healing methods and things. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, Reiki, they have different levels and things like that. I never felt. I actually didn't know about Reiki until many years after I had been doing the energy healing that I was doing. And I feel like when I first started doing it, I was in the neonatal intensive care unit every day. And I would do the hands-on healing with the babies. And I was able to see how their heart rate changed, how their oxygen levels changed, how you know, all of their vital signs, their blood pressure would change and things like that. So I actually could develop techniques of my own that I knew was creating more circulation, better breathing, and all of those mm-hmm. kinds of things in those babies. And I could see it right there in real time. So
sure.
that's kind of how I really developed, you know, the techniques, I guess. But
mm-hmm.
but again, a lot of it is just totally intuitive whenever I start working on someone. So
well, we have a caller, and I'd like to know who that caller is. Who just called in? Oh, they dropped. Somebody got tired.
Darn.
But that's okay.
Maybe they didn't want to say anything.
Maybe we scared them away. I will
say that if anyone,
oh, he called back. I have a hunch I know who it is. So I'm just going to hit the button and say, hello, is this one of Be Unique Heroes writers?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm one of the other Be Unique writers, and I was just calling in to say that, Jeannie, I think that you're an incredible woman, and hearing these stories that you're sharing with other people is really wonderful, and the connections that you form with other people and the way that you're able to help others in such an incredible and empowering way, I think is really good. And I just wanted to stop in real quick for just a second and say thank you for sharing your stories.
Well, we appreciate
that.
Jeannie, do you recognize that voice?
Not at all.
You don't? Well, who are you, caller?
My name is Zach Cole. I'm Jeannie's son.
Oh, my Zach attack.
And yeah. And I will have to tell you that he is here because of the healing practices that I used. Because
awesome.
He was very sick, and I was told he wouldn't live 12 hours. And,
wow.
He
spoiler alert,
miraculously
made it,
Pat, we're going to have to make you a Be Unique writer, because right now I have three Be Unique writers with me. Jeannie, Jean, and Zach. And I'd love for our readers and, I mean, our listeners to check out, if I'm wrong, correct me, Barefoot Zach on YouTube.
Is that correct? Barefoot on YouTube. Barefoot on YouTube. Yeah, it's my channel's pretty small, so it can still be hard to find sometimes, but it's just Barefoot.
Barefoot.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, they can also go to Be Unique Issue 17 and find the link in there. By the way, Zach, Jennifer said she can fix it on the digital, and she's going to see if she has time to fix it before it goes to print. So we might be
fine.
On that, that new link.
Thank you.
I'm just delighted to have you all here.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to call in and say hello to everyone and encourage my mom to keep sharing her gifts with everyone.
Well, thanks for calling and staying.
Thanks, babe.
Appreciate it.
That's awesome. I'll go back to the regular listening. Bye bye.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to have to play a little commercial real quickly, and we'll be right back with Jeannie Cole.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
Welcome back to the show, and I can tell you that Anna is another one-arm paper hanger on broken stilts. That young lady is not quite as old as Zach, but she's in that same ballpark. She writes for Be Unique. She was one of the hosts of Season 1, Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. We're not producing that at the moment. It's kind of on a hiatus, but it's still a relevant little webisode. It's fun little YouTube to watch, and you get an insight into the millennial mind. But she's a full-time student, and she hosts a show here on our Be Unique radio show called Here I am.
Very
so,
good show.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we are talking with Jeannie Cole. We just said hello and goodbye to her son, Zach, who's also a writer at Be Unique. And we've got Pat sitting in the quiet corner, just listening, I guess. But you were talking about just knowing what to do. You listen to your intuition. You follow Now, Jeannie, do you feel a sense that someone is talking to you? Do you hear voices, or you just let your hands go where the energy takes you?
No, I have a very strong, I call it my God voice, because it's a very strong, again, it's almost like someone is talking to me. I don't want to say I hear voices.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I hear voices.
I'm a little crazy there, but no, it's kind of, it's a sensing and a knowing, and sometimes very visual. Like I said, with the person that got hit in the chest with the football, it's very visual. I'll see like maybe a scenario or something. And sometimes it might not make sense to me, and the message that I get might not always make sense to me either, but once I tell it to the person, it usually, they're like, oh, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. So, you know, in the beginning, I would be like, I can't say that to them. I can't tell them about that.
Right.
And, you know, then I started saying, well, this message is coming and I need to give it to them because it's not my message. So it's not for me to make sense of it. It's for them.
Exactly.
Right. So, and I'm not, you know, I don't consider myself like a psychic or anything like that. The only time I really get those kinds of messages is really when I'm doing that hands-on healing. Sometimes I'll get, you know, a feeling about somebody when they're telling me their story or something, which happens a lot. You know, I used to travel a lot, and people, you know, by the time the plane was taking off, people would be crying and telling me their life story and, you know, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I would be, you know, but sometimes you sense a question you need to ask the person that helps them get through something. So, you know, I practice heart math, which heart math is a process of connecting with your heart. And when you're connected with your heart, you're in the space of, you know, the greatest love and peace and joy that you can find. And when you are in that space, it's kind of your intuition really escalates at that point, and that carries over into your everyday life. So that's just kind of,
well,
you know, it's one of the skills. We all have it in us.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Go ahead.
That was why I was asking, because I find that what you're saying is very similar to the way I receive messages or the way I sense what may be going on. It is just, just like we said earlier, we can choose to be happy or we can choose to be unhappy. We can also choose or not choose to hear the voices, whether it's whether we call it intuition, instinct, clairvoyance, being psychic, or whatever we want to call it, it's still true that we're getting some kind of message from somewhere outside of us.
Yeah, and we're being bombarded with messages constantly, and it's are you willing to listen to it? Are you willing to be open enough? Because I know people who are, you know, they're not open to even that idea. They're afraid of it. And because of that, they shut it down. And
sure.
I think a lot of people, when they do that, they never really find their full joy in their life.
I think it would be hard to find it when it's really right there in front of you. And you're,
right.
Okay, for example, let's say I call you up and say, hey, Jeannie, would you like to be on the podcast? And you say, yeah, sure, I'll be on there. I'll get back with you later. So I call you again or email you and say, Jeannie, are you ready to be on the podcast? I would love to be on your podcast, but right now I'm too busy. So I call you, say, 6 or 7 times, and I ask you if you want to be on the podcast, and you always have an excuse. So I would interpret that as, you know, she's not really interested. She's being nice, but she really doesn't want to do this. And I think it's that way with these gifts that we have been given. Whether it's healing through, I mean, I told you before the show, I feel like I am living my life's purpose. And I think my life's purpose has always been to educate others. And doing that through Be Unique, which is an educational organization, I can do that. But how easy would it have been for me to just sit back and say, you know what, I am so close to retirement age. I don't want to start work. I started a brand new business. Who does that?
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to the voice that said, hey, Mary, would you like to do something really fun that's going to push you to the outer limits of your comfort zone and keep you running from dawn to dusk and give you no rest at all, but you're going to be doing my work. And I jumped on that because years ago I told God, I'll be your tool. If you use me, I will do whatever you ask of me. And sometimes we like to say that, but we either don't really mean it or don't understand what we're asking in return.
Right. And it's, you know, there's that, I think it's a joke or something about the guy that, you know, his house was in the flood and he's up on the roof and
he's that's one
trying
of my
to get rescued
favorite.
And he keeps turning the people down. And then at the end, he dies, and he says, God, I was asking you for help. And God says, well, I sent you a plane, and I sent you a boat.
I sent you a
all
boat.
These things that
you
never accepted.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, one of the biggest things about living in joy is you have to accept the things that are being given
absolutely.
To you. And
mm-hmm.
see things as you know, the gifts that you're given and be grateful for them every single day of your life. And it's easy. I mean, I certainly can get into those negative discussions with people and, you know, oh, why is this? And I hate this. And, you know, all those kinds of things. It's easy to do that. But, you know, the real thing is recognize it and stop and don't wallow in it. Because when you do that, you really start eroding your gratitude factor.
Right.
And you're not going to get, you're not going to be as receptive to the gifts whenever they come along the next time.
Exactly.
Well, you know, if my husband were to give me a gift and I just throw it down and say, this isn't what I wanted, he'd quit buying me things.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, God is very generous and very loving, but even he is not going to force us to do something that we don't want to do. And if that means accepting his gift, then we're just not going to get them anymore.
Well, I
it's
think, I guess,
kind of like
I was going to say, I think we get so distracted so easily because there's so many shiny things all around us that are trying to detract us from, you know, what's inside of us and what is real. And we're so trained from the earliest ages to do that, to look at all the things and bells and whistles and instead of what's really going on inside of us, you know. and actually admonished not to do that kind of thing. So.
Right. Well, you know, when the whole COVID thing started, one of the first things I did, I mean, it's a pain. The whole issue is a pain, and
sure. It's
created a lot of problems. But also, I'm like, well, maybe, this is, everybody's always talking about how they don't have enough time for this, they don't have enough time for that, and all this kind of stuff. So look here, God's like slowed everything down so that, you've got time for things.
Yeah.
And people
Holy
are readjusting.
You are preaching my song.
Yeah,
because I look at
all catastrophes like that, and tomorrow is 9/11, and right after 9/11 happened, I said, this has changed because people were moving too fast. People weren't spending time with their families. People weren't appreciating the people that they loved and making sure that they knew that they loved them and those kinds of things. And right after 9/11 happened, we saw this resurgence of families making sure that they spent time together. People sort of slowed down again. And, we've had, major weather disasters and things like that. And each time I see we have people reaching out to each other. They're crossing barriers of, of race, religion, all of those kinds of things. And so each time we see that spread a little bit further, and sometimes it doesn't seem like it stays in perpetual motion the way that it should.
Right.
And maybe that's why the next thing comes along is to just keep us moving in that direction. And if you can look at those things from that way, it makes it a whole lot easier to see the world as a friendlier place and to find love and joy for everybody in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you're going to be healthier. You're going to be a lot happier. You're going to be living in your heart is what I call it.
That's a good way to put it.
I 100% agree with you because you're speaking truth, plain and simple. I have to take a quick break here. Well, it resonates with me, Jeannie.
Good.
I need to take a quick little commercial break. We'll be right back. If you'll just hang on to that thought, don't let it go.
We'll be here.
There is a place between the dark and the light, between the day and the night, where things are shadowy and gray, and we walk there on a walk in shadow. Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, where the darkness dwells, on AstroTentRadio.com.
And we are back. I am Mary. I'm here with my co-host, Jean Albertson. I'm also here with our guest, Jeannie Cole, and her silent partner, Pat. Pat, I'm just delighted that you're still here listening and enjoying the show with us.
Thank you.
Well, you are welcome. So you had a thought before I played the commercial. Do you remember it?
Yes, I certainly do. So you were talking about perception and how we deal with things. And so, one of the things I teach people about, you have 1,400 chemicals and hormones in your body that help to keep you either in a balanced state or create chaos internally. And I won't get into all the particulars of that, but just one of those things is cortisol. And cortisol, we need it, but we don't need an overabundance of it. And, cortisol is what comes after adrenaline. So when we get those adrenaline rushes and they stay for a little while, then cortisol is what develops. And so when our body goes into that fight or flight situation, most of the time it's really determined by our perception of something. And I use this example a lot. It's like, for me, riding a roller coaster, just the thought of it makes my heart start racing. It makes me nervous. It makes my stomach flutter. It does all kinds of things to me. But for my son, he loves to ride roller coasters.
Yeah.
It makes him happy. It makes him joyful. And what really is the difference? It's his perception of it creates a whole different chemical complex in his body versus mine, which creates a really negative chemical complex that can actually, if I stay in that state for very long, it actually starts creating all kinds of problems that can ultimately make me sick. Definitely make me more vulnerable to catching a virus or any kind of illness or any kind of germ. It makes me more susceptible to. So it's all about your perception of those kinds of things that actually lead to big problems within your life and especially within your body.
Yeah, I mean, they accumulate. And just like I was mentioning earlier, when I spent 25 years stuffing all of my emotions and my pain and my inability to cope with being a codependent until I was allowed to release them in a safe place. And that was when I got very ill. But after that illness, I became very much in tune with my body and was able to go beyond that illness and eventually leave that negative behind. I refer to it now just as an example, not because it causes me any pain anymore.
Mm-hmm. You changed the perception of the whole thing.
Yes, I took it as a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I try to teach that lesson to as many people as I can, because I think it's so important for everybody. It boils down to living your truth.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't know exactly what our truth is, so we have to be reminded in a little harder way. You know, we have to learn to be able to get out.
Some people learn easier than others, definitely. Some of us are hard learners.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and usually whenever that's the case, you have the same problem that just keeps coming back to you over and over and over again. It looks different each time, but in reality, it becomes the same problem until you get it, and then you figure out how to move past it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, in the Course in Miracles, it's all about how everything in this life is pretty much an illusion. It's just, you know, we're here experiencing it, but there's an eternal life that's always present, that's with us always.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So sometimes I like to just sit back. If there's something that's really bothering me, I just sit back and kind of watch it as if it's a movie. I'm watching a movie. And as I watch that movie, I can kind of see how I'm playing things out in my life and how other people are playing out things in that situation. and how, you know, does it really matter after all? And if it does, then what am I supposed to learn from it, and where can I go from there? But knowing that in reality, probably this doesn't even matter because it's not my eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. It's not your it's not your problem. You know, it's just plain and simple. It's not your problem.
Well, it's not your sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, Gene. It's not your sentence.
See why I keep him around?
Well, I think when you were talking about it, I just was going along with you, understanding by experiencing everything you were talking about, you know, just how you get to the point where you have to deal with things. Or you don't, and if you don't, you never will. You have to step up and just be who you are and be honest with yourself, mm-hmm. mostly, I think.
So, Pat, do you have anything to say about that?
Not really. I'm just listening to Jeannie, and I'm so happy and elated that she invited me to join. I'm just it's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, we're here.
Thanks for calling
in.
Yeah. Well,
Pat has been a big supporter of me. She just had me speak at a little event Saturday night to do some
psychometry.
But what I did was helping people, just a meditation to get in their heart and extend love out to the entire world is how we do it. So
now that's nice.
Anyway,
awesome.
I appreciate her for inviting me to do that.
Well, you know, a lot of times that's the sort of thing that people really do need help with. You know, they just, I speak from myself and people I've seen that it's not always something you learn how to do growing up. You know, you don't know how to just be really in touch and admit that you have feelings and what they are and that they're, you know, really legitimate and they're okay to have and that sort of thing. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
To have somebody to help you show you like that, how to get to really feel it. It's so important.
I think you're right, Gene. It's a matter of how you were born or...
well, knowing how.
You know, what you were taught. It's about what you were taught.
Mm-hmm. I think so, a lot. Well, we talked before before the show. We were talking about what's normal. You know, and I mean, I remember at one point in my young adult life thinking, wait a minute now, I went my whole life thinking me and my family were normal, and I'm learning things in my life that, whoa, I'm just like everybody else. Wait a minute.
Where did I come from?
Huh?
It's like, where did I come from? How did I get to this point?
Yeah, what's going on here? You know, and later on, and in not too far distant past, I finally realized that I wasn't nearly as odd as I thought I was, or I maybe had been taught I was. You know, I mean, I was actually pretty much everybody's just exactly who they are. And that's just who I was.
Well,
I didn't know it.
And a lot of that is true because, you know, who you thought you were was based on the other people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie had said that she didn't, you know, she didn't want to say that she was psychic per se, but she does have and I can relate to this. You have a certain voice that you sense it or you feel it or you hear it, and you know mm-hmm. that is a God, you know, it's God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
my mother told me that when I was four, her aunt wanted to have me committed because she thought I was crazy because I was talking to people that my great aunt couldn't see. And my mother said, no, she's just talking to angels. And, you know, if you allow yourself to do that, you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, you know.
If you want, if you
now,
choose, you said it.
My mother, I don't know if she's on here listening or not, but when I was growing up, she used to always talk about she'd have premonitions of things. And one of her aunts had premonitions of things, but my mother doesn't like it. She gets a little afraid of that. And so I feel like, you know, maybe that gift has been passed down. I'm not afraid of it, though. I was kind of in the beginning, but I realized how empowering it can be for other, you know, for other people, and how much you actually help other people when you can help them understand or you help them feel something that they've never experienced before. There's just a lot of people out there in the world who really don't know how to feel joy.
Mm-mm. Nope.
If you remember before the show, I said that I was living my life. And I think one of the reasons that I waited as late as I did to do this is because I was afraid. What will people think of me if I say I'm living my life's purpose? What will people think of me if I do something that's so out of the ordinary and so not what I went to college for? You know, I don't have a degree in what I'm doing, but I'm doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people with the degree in one thing who end up doing something else and they're much happier. So, but you have to accept it, and you also have to have a good support team who helps you understand it's okay to step out of your comfort zone.
Right.
Right. And I think being in the medical field, I used to meet doctors and nurses, especially who were miserable in the job that they were in, but they felt like, because they had spent so much money and put so much time into becoming that they couldn't quit. Now, those people aren't the best doctors or nurses. You definitely don't want to be going to them because they're so wrapped up. They're so wrapped up in their own pity, maybe that's a good word, or resentment or whatever, that they are not totally aware of what it is that you're coming to them for, of what your problem is. They can't develop that intuition. And in nursing, there's actually been research done, and they call it from novice to expert, but in the expert field of nursing, a nurse is intuitive. That's a nurse who she doesn't know exactly how she knows, but she knows a patient's going to go down the tubes, as we call it. That means a patient is really gonna, you know, crash badly. They're gonna have either a death experience or near death or whatever. But you know, nurses are known for calling doctors and saying, "I don't know exactly what's wrong, but I just feel this." And when they get to that point, they're considered the expert nurse.
And I would imagine hospice nurses especially would have that capability.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but because you just start, I think anyone who does any kind of body work or works closely with other human beings that has to sort of tune in to them when they're the most vulnerable, that you have to kind of start picking up on their energy. And that when you start doing that, you can feel, you can start feeling when people are sad, when people are really sick, when people are happy. And if you allow yourself to do that, you become the better caretaker because you intuitively know what that patient needs.
And I think also if you work on developing that intuition, it helps you be able to know which people are the good people to hang around with.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Well, you know, your energy extends 3 feet from your body. That's measurable. They've measured vibrations of energy, and that's measurable. And so if you're 3 feet within somebody who has a negative energy, that's going to suck some of yours. And if yours isn't high enough to withstand their sucking it out of you, you're going to go down with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I learned something I thought was very interesting. People talk about unconditional love being a real high vibration energy. I learned that the energy of peace is even higher.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And if you think about it, if you are a person of peace, you understand unconditional love. And so it would make perfect sense, I think, to they go hand in hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Well, when I'm working with people, sometimes I even just leave the word love out of some of the tools that I teach them in the beginning, because love to people has so many different connotations. And so for some people, love, I mean, children who are abused, people who are in domestic violence situations, those people say they love the person, but does that love create that internal chaos I was talking about earlier?
Right.
Or is it a love that creates a peace and a joy? And if you can't find appreciation in and some gratitude in that experience of love with that person in some way, it's probably damaging you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I would imagine a lot of people. Peace and joy, I think, are even better words than love because, like you said, everybody doesn't speak the same love language.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty important to everybody agreeing what a word means and what it means as they talk about it. As long as everybody knows it doesn't mean the same, it's different. But if everybody thinks it means one thing and everybody's talking about different things, hard to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, it's my job to stop the conversation for a minute and hit another button, and I'll be right back with some interesting news for you.
Okay.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BeUnique.org.
We are back, and as I promised you, I would have some interesting news, and it may not be that interesting, but I find it interesting. Well, I have a little countdown clock on my screen here on the little studio that tells me how much longer we have for the show. And I thought I had let more time slip than I did, and I wanted to make sure I got that last ad in, but I thought we were down to 5 seconds, but we were down to 5 minutes. So we've got some more time to talk.
Okay. Excellent.
I never said I could read a clock. I just, you know, that wasn't in my job description.
Right. Well, now, one thing, I'm glad we have that little bit extra time, because one of the things I wanted to ask you about was if you'd touch on your work with the families of children that are born with a spina bifida, you work especially with a lot of those children that seem to be able to, you are able to help, and I was hoping you'd tell us a little about that.
Well, I managed a large clinic for a long time of babies that were born with spina bifida. And so spina bifida is a baby's born with an opening in their spine. It can be anywhere along their back. That's something that happens in the third week of pregnancy before most women even know that they're pregnant. And depending on where the opening is determines a lot of the issues that the child will have, but usually they have some type of paralysis of their lower body. It causes them to have lack of control of their bowel and bladder functions, and about 90% of the kids also have hydrocephalus, which is a fluid on the brain. Mm-hmm. And have to require, called a shunt, it's a tube to be put in the brain to drain that fluid out. So, you know, those babies are in for a lot of surgical procedures and, you know, lifelong issues related to those body systems. And so just in working with those families early on, I found that, you know, one of the biggest things was people were living a what-if life. You know, they didn't go anywhere. They didn't do things because it was always, well, what if, you know, something happens to that child?
Right.
And also the children didn't get to be independent like other kids. And if they had siblings, you know, they couldn't go out and just play with them the way that other kids did. So early on, I was fortunate enough to create a run. It was a 5K run that Red Lobster partnered with us to do. And the money from that run each year, I would buy 10 hand-propelled tricycles, and would have sort of a lottery with the kids. The tricycles cost around $600 to $800, depending on the size.
Oh, my.
And
wow.
So, but the tricycles were so that the kids could transfer from a wheelchair onto a tricycle, and then they could use their hands to pedal it. And so it was like a three-wheeler, you know.
Sure.
And that gave kids mobility and the opportunity to experience, you know, what every young kid desires to do is learn to ride a bicycle, right?
Sure.
So they could go out and
move right along.
And they were, yeah. And then ultimately, we built a playground, and that was, that took about 2 to 3 years of every free minute of my life was put into that playground, and we ended up building a playground that we had 5,000 people show up to build over a 4-day period.
Whoa.
And
that's awesome.
And
people can
everything.
See those pictures. Anybody who wants to see those pictures
see
of that
the
playground,
pictures.
They can look at
yeah.
the slideshow of tonight's show.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Yeah, so the playground was in a park where they also had some camping. There was a lake, there's a petting zoo, and a swimming pool. And so a family could go there and have all of their children play together,
mm-hmm.
which I think that's just such an important thing for, you know, a family to be able to – to have
absolutely.
Fun, a fun
sure.
time, fun time
sure.
together, not everything focused around, you know, what they can't do, but now what they can do. And
yep.
so that was, it's in a history book. It was featured in a Southern Living magazine. And that was, you know, one of truly the highlights of my life was building that playground.
You know,
besides
and just
giving birth to my son.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
That's one you can never live down, especially when you
yeah.
had a little bit of a struggle with it.
Yeah,
but ladies and gentlemen, our time is officially up.
Mm.
And
all right.
I've really enjoyed this. I love having Pat in the corner, you know, keeping order in the room, making sure nobody's doing anything wrong. Because she's over there like a little policeman, really quiet, but watch out. Thank you for joining
thank
us,
you.
Matt. And
oh,
you are so
wonderful.
Welcome. And Jeannie, thank you.
Thank you.
And
thank
Zach,
you so much
for calling
Mary.
In. Oh, you are more than welcome. I loved you the first time I met you, and then when you started writing for us, I loved you just a little bit more. And when you introduced me to Zach, it was like my love has no bounds. So I just keep adding love for Jeannie into my life. And
well,
I keep
really
doing
that.
And did you know that
I keep.
Gene's grandmother used to call
you
him Gene. Thank you. I appreciate that. And people laugh at that, but you can actually feel that when that love increases, mm-hmm. your life gets better.
Yeah.
Yep.
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 It does.
Sure does.
All right. So you are more than welcome to stay till the end of this next little recording, or you can hang up anytime you'd like, but I still have to play it. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.